It was very interesting to hear that this famous Chinese poem was written about this willow tree. I don't think many of the fellows know that now. When this poet came to Cambridge, he became friends or was invited by Dady Rylands, who was a member of the famous Bloomsbury group, of which Virginia Woolf and John Maynard Keynes and others were members. And he was obviously very moved by being in Cambridge and wrote this famous poet. So it's lovely to have an association between here and China's great literary tradition in that period. And this view is a very famous one because you have the medieval King's College Chapel, the Gothic chapel, started in the middle of the 15th century and being built through the 16th century. Then you have Clare College, which is a 17th century, another college with its Clare College Bridge. And then on the right of the college, you have the Gibbs Building, which is the, over here, you have the Gibbs, the long white Gibbs Building, which is where my room in the college is and where we'll be going later. And that's 18th century. And this is very typical of the mixtures that you get in Cambridge colleges. The English don't mind mixing together styles. It's very much like their whole culture, which is a hodgepodge, as we say, an accumulation. The Chinese tend to have a wonderful civilization, then pull it all down and start again, as they're doing in Beijing. The English tend to pile one thing on top of another thing, and they don't see any difficulty in having two entirely different artistic styles next door to each other. And so much of Cambridge is 19th century, some of it 18th, 17th, 16th, and so on. And we enjoy that. And we can trace the history on the ground. The other feature which is notable, which you can see well here, is that, as you see, the lawns and this bit are very formal, very clear, closely cut lawn, and no one allowed on the lawn, and so on. When you go across the river, you suddenly get into what is basically an English park, what a lord, an English lord, would have outside his country house, with animals grazing under the trees. The grass is not kept well at all. So this, the English like this contrast between the informal, natural kind of landscape here of a country park with the formal grounds. And this might, and indeed is exactly as many of our big country houses like Hatfield House and so on, designed like this. This is basically a country house. And the people who came here for 300 or 400 years were the people who owned the big country houses. They would leave, they would be brought up in a country house, come and live in a country house, then go back and run their estates and run the British Empire. And it was all continuous. So this is a kind of artistic play with nature and wildness.